Hi, we're glad you can be with us today as we continue our study of the meaning and purpose of our lives here on earth. I'm Leon Steele, and we're going to look at what the God of the Bible says is the truth of all things that exist in both the physical and spirit realms. About one-third of the world's people claim to believe in God and in the Bible, which he says is his word of and truth to mankind. And God's emphatic in his statements that no truth exists other than what he has given. Now that presents a very fundamental dilemma for all of us who claim to believe in God and in his word. And the difficulty for all of Christianity is this: do we believe in God enough to accept without reservation all that he claims himself to be, all that he claims to have done, all that he claims he's going to do, and all that he has said concerning the past, present, and future of mankind? Jesus said that he is truth, meaning he is the embodiment of everything that is true and real and eternal. He's the giver of all life, as we will see today, and his words are true and complete. He is completely holy and righteous, and he is Lord of all things. Before we get further into this, if you would like a copy of today's program for your own use, we'll be glad to send you a totally free CD copy, and there are no postage or handling charges. And today's program is number 99, and you can call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Also, you can email us, and you're welcome to freely download any of our programs from our internet website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. In case you missed it, I'll repeat this information at the end of today's program, and we would certainly appreciate any questions or comments you may have. Christianity is the only religion I'm aware of that believes in the God of the Bible, which includes both the Old and New Testaments. He is the one true God who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The baffling thing about Christian belief is that most of the major denominations of Christianity, as well as many, many individual churches and Christians, do not believe in the Bible as being true in all that it says, because, it's claimed, much of the Bible has been composed of folklore, legends, traditions, which are essentially culture-based. Even more peculiar, though, is that among the relatively small number of remaining Christians who profess to believe every word God has given in the Bible, there exist any number of teachings and practices that are markedly different from the words and truth given by God in Christ in the Bible. The Bible, though, is the only authoritative historical record we have of the beginning, the middle, and the end of mankind. I know there's ever a variety of arguments and theories as to the origin of man and all the life here on earth, but the Bible gives us the only actual record we have going back to a time when only God existed. I'm going to begin there today, but first let me make a couple of comments concerning the truth of God and of everything else. God says that he is the only God that has always existed, that exists now, and will always exist. He is eternal, he says, having no beginning or end of life. He says that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-righteous, that he contains all truth and all love. He also says that he is the Creator God, who has created all things, spirit and material, for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to build a kingdom and a nation of beings who are entirely like him. That is, God has created a race of people who will come to have a spirit, soul, and body like that of God himself, because they will have inherited the characteristics and the life of God. As the race of man, we all have inherited the physical, mental, and spiritual attributes of our father Adam. Even the first woman, Eve, was created by God out of Adam. And so, while we inherit traits from both father and mother, Adam is the one source of it all, and we are totally like him in spirit, soul, and flesh. There's nothing of our human, physical, mental, and spiritual makeup that's not inherited. Nothing has been added to the unique being of man since Adam was created out of the dust of the ground. Eve herself was made completely of the spirit, soul, and flesh of Adam. She was fashioned differently, of course, in order to make the man complete and make him able to fulfill the purpose God had established from the beginning for him. They were to have children and to populate the earth and rule over it. But the term man includes all mankind. It includes men, women, and children. We're all one in spirit, flesh, and soul. Man is one race made up of all men and women who are exactly the same in our essential being. We all look different. There are subtleties in our ways of thinking. There are subtleties in our personalities. And we are unique within our race, but we have nothing outside what we have inherited. Men and women, because of their physical differences and purpose, see and experience things differently because God made us that way. But our flesh, soul, and spirit are of identical composition. God made us that way as well. God fashioned man, male and female, to fill different roles, but still as one. Woman cannot exist without man, and man cannot exist without woman. Without God's creation of Eve, out of Adam, the race of man would have died with Adam. God also says he is one. He is God, whom we call the Father. He's God the Son, the man, Jesus Christ, who is described as God the Word in the Old Testament, and he is God the Holy Spirit. God is one, though, as he repeatedly tells us, just as man, male and female, is one. Now, the reason or point of needing to know these things is so that we can understand what God is doing in man and the God-created ultimate purpose of our being. Unfortunately, much of Christianity seems to think of God as being a great and mighty being whose purpose in creating man was to have something to amuse himself with by sort of setting things into motion and then watching to see how it all turns out. You know, there's a strong belief also, and this long predates Christianity, that God created man and then rewards with great blessings and good things here on earth those who are the most obedient to his laws. Generally speaking, in Christianity, that means obedience to the Ten Commandments given to Israel, which are considered to be God's gold standard of righteousness that will gain admittance to eternal life in God's kingdom. Nothing can be further, though, from the truth God presents in his word. God's truth of man's purpose is not complicated. This is not complex or mysterious. In fact, it's set out in the scriptures in absolutely clear and simple words that can be heard and understood by everyone who is willing to hear and believe God. So let's just go through what God himself says is his purpose for the creation of all that exists, both in the spirit realm and in the entirety of the material universe, which includes man. We will begin chronologically before anything existed, which is a concept that's actually inconceivable to us, but we'll begin at a time when there was only God. And this is stated not as we would expect in Genesis, which is the book of the beginnings of all things as they are today, but this is found in the beginning of the New Testament Gospel book of John. In John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, we're told the history and the identity of the man, Jesus Christ. Verse 1, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and this is a proper name, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This was the eternity before time even existed. The beginning spoken of is the beginning of God's creation work. And the word spoken of here is used as a proper noun, the name of God. Now, in verse 14 of this first chapter of John, the Word, who was God, is identified as the man, Jesus Christ. And let me just read that. This is John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, who was in the beginning with God and who was God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the origin of the man Jesus, who had existed eternally as God the Word. Verse 3 now. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now this is the creator of all things, spirit and material, seen and unseen. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In God the Word resided all that has life, that is, all the spirit beings such as angels and all the physical life that has ever existed. Life cannot possibly have come from any other source, because only God had life to give in whatever form He chose to impart it, whether it was given to created spirit or physical beings, as well as to all plant and animal life. You know, life cannot just appear out of nothing. Even the scientists agree that the material universe had a beginning, as did all life. Life cannot proceed from things that have no life. You do not get life from a rock, nor is lightning going to strike something and start a process that results in a living organism. You know, though, the thing that is mind-boggling about all this is to realize that most of mankind, including most of Christianity today, rejects these words we've just read and instead holds to theories and traditions that have originated from men. If we believe in God and His Word, which He has caused to be written for us in the Scriptures, He tells us this truth of our origin in the Book of Beginnings. Now, this is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. At some point, God brought into being all that is, both of things seen and unseen. We see a ways into the heavens, and we physically see and experience earthly things. But this goes back to what we read in John chapter 1 and verse 3, where we saw all things come into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now, here's where we have to actually believe in and accept the scriptural words of God as truth, or place our faith in something else. In Genesis 1 and verse 2, we're brought from the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth until the reforming of the earth's surface and life as it is today. This is found in Genesis 1 and verse 2. The earth was, and the word means had become, formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. For some reason, of which we have no need of knowing now, the earth had become darkened. It had become waste and empty of life. Then in verse 3, we're told of the beginning of the reconstruction of the earth and of its condition, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the darkness and light were separated into the days and nights that we have today. Then God began to create all plant and animal life according to their different kinds, all the things that we have today. Plants were created according to their kind. Birds, fish, and animals were created according to their kind. And so the earth was replenished according to God's creation. And this accounts for the earth as it is today and all the life that exists on it, which was made after its kind, except for man. The scriptures repeat that all living things were created after their kind, but that was not so with man. Man was going to be created not after a kind or after his kind, but in a totally unique way for a specific purpose. The information about our race of man, the mankind, how he came to be, and the reason and purpose for our being is given in verses 26 through 28 of Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, we find, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." When man, male and female, was created, he is not said to be created after his kind, as were all the other living things about which we just read. God was about to create man as an entirely new, one-of-a-kind being. This is one of the most revealing and astounding statements in the Bible, that man was to be created and fashioned in the image and likeness of God Himself. Verse 27, "So God created man. In His own image, in the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them." All other creatures were created according to their kind, but man, male and female, was created in the image of God Himself. Man, male and female, was created able to think, to communicate in all manner of ways with one another, as well as with God, who had created him in His image. And we're told that Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the Garden of Eden, which He had made for them. They had some of the spiritual characteristics of God, meaning they were created with a spirit and soul that bore a resemblance to God. but was not of God. Man was created as a physical being with a non-material spirit and mind or soul that are in the image or like a shadow of the spiritual substance and reality of God, who is spirit. But first, God created the man Adam, and then out of Adam, God removed a rib, and from it he created the woman. The term man, though, is singular, even though it includes both man and woman. God created the woman out of the man. They are one, meaning they were both of the same flesh, soul, and spirit. Eve was exactly like Adam in spirit and substance, but she was fashioned in such a way as to make the man complete. Together, they would perfectly complement and fulfill one another and are together one kind. This man, who was to become the image and likeness of God, had never existed in this way before. But together they were the mankind as one. They could then do what God commands them to do in verse 28. Verse 28, God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God gave man, male and female, and all who would proceed from them, rule over all the earth, and that authority still exists. God has not taken away man's dominion, nor has he changed his purpose of making man in his own image and likeness. Man, male and female, bears the image, or is like the shadow of the Spirit God, but without being of God's substance, if you can call it that, and that is, God is spirit. Man sees things only in physical terms through our senses. We understand that shadow itself has no substance. That is, we see shadow only as the dark area behind whatever material is blocking out the light. Man, though, was made to become like God, meaning he was made to become like God in spirit, soul, and substance or body, which is spirit. Now, that sounds backward to us, but God has provided the best of all ways for man, for us to understand these things, because he has given to us in physical form and substance that we can understand a complete view of his spirit being. This is from the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, God spoke directly to Adam and Eve. This is recorded, and he spoke through the mouths of his prophets, the kings and others. He spoke to Israel through his word and law. He spoke through miracles and signs in various ways. He did all this to make himself and his will known to man through the ages. However, in verse 2, we're told this, In these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. These last days have continued for 2,000 years now, as God completes his purpose and plan for man that began with the creation of the man Adam, and it's being brought to fulfillment in the man, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, And he, Jesus the man, he is the radiance of his, that is, of God's glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now everything that can be known of God was made known or made visible in this man Jesus, who was born of a woman as a man, no different from you and I in body and mind. His nature, his spirit was that of God. Now we all follow our nature exactly. Man's nature, inherited from Adam, always follows the path of unbelief and opposition to God and his word. That was the path Adam and Eve chose, and we cannot change that spirit in ourselves. We may sin a little, or we may sin a lot, but our human nature will not permit us to be like Jesus Christ in spirit and nature. That is, to be completely righteous without even the thought of sin. Jesus not only did not sin in his actions, but his spirit would not permit his mind to even entertain the thoughts of sin. What we see expressed in the life and words of Jesus is the total righteous nature of God. It was seen in his love and in his mercy for all mankind, and it was seen in his perfect obedience to the will of God the Father, and in his total obedience to the old covenant law of Israel, and in his giving up of his life as the payment for man's sins. I know that what I'm saying here about the sinful nature of man is summarily dismissed by the world and even by much of Christianity, which maintains that most people are actually basically good at heart. God himself says over and over, though, that such a belief is absolutely, without exception, untrue. Jesus states in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There are no hidden clauses or mysteries in those words. They mean that Jesus, in his earthly life, death, and resurrection, has provided everything needed for man not to be upgraded or improved, but to be totally changed and made new and made entirely like Jesus himself in spirit, soul, and body. Still, if it is true that man must become like Jesus in every way, then how is it possible to change the sinful spirit and nature of man into the completely righteous spirit and nature of God? How can we become entirely like Jesus in spirit, soul, and body? Jesus tells us the answer to that in the clearest and plainest of words. He tells us the one and only way to be saved from sin and death and be given the righteousness and eternal life of God. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus tells a ruler of the Jews, a man named Nicodemus, whom he calls the teacher of Israel, he tells him this, verse 3, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, this is a complete statement. There's simply no other way given by God to be changed and made into the image and likeness of God. The only means we have been given by which we can become like Jesus is by being born again. We most certainly cannot change our nature through any kind of actions, though they may be of the highest moral character. After Nicodemus has replied to Jesus by saying that it's impossible to be humanly born again of a woman, which is true, Jesus reiterates verse 3 by saying in verse 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, here is a perfectly clear statement by Jesus saying that unless a person is born of a woman, as Jesus was born, and unless he also is born of the Spirit God, he cannot enter into God's kingdom. Then verse 6, Jesus explains why that's so. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's all it is. That's all it's ever going to be. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." This is the pure, unadorned, irrefutable truth of God concerning how man can enter into God's eternal spirit, life, and kingdom. Now, we know by our own God-given reason and experience that all of mankind is born of the flesh, mind, and spirit of Adam. Jesus, whom the scriptures call the second Adam, was the first human being to be born of God and also of a woman as God's only human son. Every man and woman since Adam and Eve have been conceived by a man and born of a woman. But Jesus was begotten of the Spirit God in a woman, and so his inherited spirit and nature is the nature of God, not Adam. And his body and person is inherited from Adam. By that we know that all who are born of God's Spirit will have inherited the life and nature of Jesus Christ. That means they have entirely new life that is not only the image or shadow of God, but the new spirit-born creation will be transformed totally into the likeness of God by having the nature and mind of Christ now and a new body like his at his return. But how does God make that happen? And what is man's part in it? In other words, what must we do to be saved from death and given the eternal nature, mind, and life of God? And the answer to that question is surprisingly simple and remarkably ignored in the teachings and practices of Christianity. God has not given man any hoops to jump through, no great deeds to perform, no particular church or group to belong to, nor anything else that we must do to gain God's acceptance other than, and here's the part that's taught very little in Christianity, which is believing in Jesus Christ. But, we say, does not all Christianity profess belief in Jesus? The answer is yes. That is claimed. But to believe, as Jesus says, is to believe he is God the man, that he has done for us everything needed to save us from sin and death, and to receive him as the Savior and Lord of our life. It means to trust in ourselves for nothing, but to trust in Him completely to save us from sin and death, to change us in spirit, and to transform our mind, and to make us exactly like Him in every way. Now, in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, we're told this short and simple truth of God concerning who and how anyone can enter into the eternal life of God. John chapter 1, and verses 10 through 13. Verse 10, He's speaking here of Jesus, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. Verse 11, He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. They knew who Jesus claimed to be. He claimed to be the prophesied and long-awaited Messiah that God had said would come to the earth and save His people. But almost no one would be actually willing to receive Him and be changed into His likeness. Some few did, though. Verse 12, But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And let me stop here for just a moment and ask this. How does anyone become a child of man or child of God? Only by being born of man and born of God, as we read earlier. But what can man do to bring this new birth of God about? We have the only answer God has given here in verses 12 and 13. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Verse 13, who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. That has never changed in any way, nor will it change. If we truly believe in Jesus and believe what He says, and if we want to be changed in spirit and mind now, and changed in body at Christ's return, there's simply no other option given by God. As I said earlier, we'll be glad to send you a totally free CD copy of today's program, which is number 99. And you can call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Also, you can email us, or you're welcome to freely download any of our programs from our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And again, today's program is number 99, and our phone number is 501-316-0136. Our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And feel free to download any of our programs from our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. As I said earlier, we're always glad to receive whatever questions or comments you may have, and we certainly thank you for being with us today. We hope you can be with us again next week at this same time as we continue our study of what it means to live now and forever in Christ.